and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 230. 230. Yes, that is where we are. It is Wednesday, October 17th, and it's been a month, and I'm sorry, and I guess that's just where we are right now. And it makes me sad, but hopefully you are listening to the Quilt Fiction Podcast, which is posting every week and will be probably through mid-December, and then we're going to take a break. And yes, there's still more story to come. You guys, I am writing this book. I am on like page 324, which is so much more than I've ever written before. And I feel like I'm about 100 pages out from any kind of getting to the end. So, yeah, there's a lot of energy going into that project right now. And it's good energy. I love doing it. I'm having so much fun with these characters and doing the podcast and what have you. But it does mean that this podcast is suffering a little bit from a lack of attention. And I don't know how much it matters. There's so much to listen to now. I'm so aware of that. And speaking of which, if you just feel like, but I need more Frances in my life, and I'm not sure why you would, but just in case. Today, Elizabeth posted my interview on the Just Want a Quilt podcast, and I'll link to that in the show notes. It is a long interview. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, so you can listen to it in bits and pieces. And there's plenty of me rambling and saying, and changing direction mid-sentence, all the things I'm known for that I like to think are just signs of my active and intelligent mind, or it could be I'm just, you know, kind of not the greatest talker in the world. Whatevs. So... in this episode, we've got a couple quilt diaries. You're going to hear about the very slow progress I'm making on the Game of Thrones quilt. No, it is the Crown of Thorns quilt. Two really different aesthetics and gospel stories, quite frankly. But I have had just a couple run-ins with just bugs. Bugs, nothing big. I don't know. I don't want to get sick in the fall. Why do I get sick in the fall? I think it's mostly allergy related, to be honest. But Will, the man, and I all got some stomach bug. Not bad. Not a gross one. Just more of a, I'm really tired and my tummy hurts kind of bug a couple weeks ago. So that has slowed down the work on Crown of Thorns. Also, it is humongous. Oh my goodness. And I have to do a back for this. I think I'm just going to scrap exchange. They actually have bolts of fabric there. And in fact, I have some fabric I bought for a project never even begun a year or so ago. I need to find that. It's a pretty sort of lightish periwinkle blue, which I think I could use for at least part of the back, for part of the sort of miles of yardage I'm going to need for the back. It's so big. On the other hand, we've got beds upstairs that could use a big quilt, but oh my goodness, I just look at it. It's not even the machine quilting that I'm concerned about. It's the basting. Everyone has a part of the quilting process that they don't look forward to. I wonder for how many of us is it the basting? Because basting, you know, is such a pain. And I know it's like, I need to look up. I know Krista Watson has a tutorial. I feel pretty sure she does. And if I find it, I'll link to it in the show notes about how to do maybe wall basting, something. Krista can help us. By the way, I need to do a giveaway because Krista sent me some patterns because I'm a Krista Watson ambassador and taking a package of her stuff, of her new fabric line and all of that over the Carrie Quilting Company. And so in return for that very small effort on my part, she sent a bunch of patterns. So we need to do that. That's happening next time. But I love me some Krista Watson. And I do believe she has a tutorial on how to baste a quilt standing up. Both you and the quilt standing up. Boy, I hate basting quilts. Anyway, that will be probably my fun weekend project. Now, the other thing about the Crown of Thorns, as opposed to the Game of Thrones quilt that I am making, is that I just keep doing dumb things. The borders have ended up being a little harder than I imagined. And then last night, applied the last border. So excited. Here I am. I'm almost done. And I put it on upside down. Oh, I am not that bright, boys and girls. I wish I were. Sometimes I pretend like I'm some kind of, read some books or something, but really what it comes down to is I am not bright. But we should get on with the quilt diaries. I do want to say thank you to everyone who's commented recently. I feel like I have been a little bit lax about that. So just recent commenters include my friend Patty. Excuse me, Patty, who has is my math go-to and my math guru. So thank you, Patty, for always coming to my aid. We had a guild block due Sunday for our Quilt Con charity quilt. And of course, I waited till the last minute and then I got out the directions and could make no sense of them because I am, as we've well established at this point, not that bright. So I did what I always do in these situations. I texted Patty and said, please tell me how to do this. And she did. So thank you, Patty. Thanks, Nicole and Vicky. Vicky's doing some exciting things over My Creative Corner 3 and has just put out her first online zine. So check that out. If I remember or if Vicky reminds me, I will link to all that in the show notes. Thank you to Raynell and Noni, to Misty Ann and Paula and Andra or Andra. I said Andra, didn't I? And it's Andra, like and. Why can't are you going to Quilt Con so that I can like give you a present to make up for well how very not bright I am. So thank you to everyone, to Susan. I'm just the last couple episodes, Susan and just people who are staying up with me and sending in the comments. I know most of you comment in your head, and I appreciate that. I get all your comments, but the written ones are especially exciting. So thanks for that. Thank you for listening. And I think that's all I have to say for this very moment. So why don't we get on with the Quilt Diaries? Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Wednesday, September 26, 2018. I'm sitting on the back porch. It's about 5. Pretty soon it'll be time to pick up Will from soccer practice. We've got a couple more weeks left of soccer. Soccer's interesting for me because as a sport, I don't like watching it as much as I like watching baseball. But having a child playing a timed sport, a sport with a clock, a game that will be over at the end of an hour, there's something to that. Baseball goes on, forever. Now, the good thing is the man is a loyal dad who comes to all of Will's games. I feel like he's maybe missed one or two over the years, and they've been away games. Baseball, when baseball travels away, they go far. So the man does not go to the far away baseball games. But what's great about the man being dad of the year is that means that, some games I go to, some games I don't. But I do try to go to the home games, and I do try to stay for at least half a game. Baseball, I always have the excuse I need to get home and start dinner, which comes in handy both at the beginning of the very, very cold days of baseball in March, and then also very handy at the end of the season and the very, very hot days of May. I do like watching baseball, though. Anywho, I was hoping I'd get some quilting done this afternoon, and I haven't. I've been running around. I got my hair cut and colored. That has to happen every 8 to 10 weeks. The coloring part, I have to get it cut more often than that because I have short hair. And but the man is staying in Raleigh for a work function, so get Will home and fire up the machine and get going. I'll make Will some dinner, something. Who knows? No, I know it. I'm on top of this, ladies. Fear not. I know you get into like one kid left at home, he's 16, and like, oh, do I still have to do stuff? Really? I'm kind of running out of steam here. Jack is coming home for fall break next weekend, and he's got a couple of friends from college who are coming home, and that just pleases me. It pleases me to be the kind of household where your kid brings his friends home from college. It may not please me at the time of the actual occurrence, but I like the idea, and that is kind of me in a nutshell. I like the idea of things, and I particularly like the idea of October. We are heading into my favorite month territory, and the special good news for me is I'm about done with a draft, a very, very, very rough draft of a book. It's called How to Build a Story, a creative writing workshop for kids, and so it is aimed at young writers. And
I've been working on it for a while, and the summer was when I was really going to hammer it home. And then Travis got sick, and it just between having Travis, you know, having to take care of him like you take care of an infant, and also working on the quilt fiction, you know, we launched that, and suddenly it's like, oh my goodness, this is happening. And, you know, at the time when we first launched the podcast, I was doing two blog posts a week, and one was kind of quilt history and recipes, and I kind of would like to get back to that, and I may as we head into fall and into the holidays. But when we started up again in September after taking a few week break, I just thought, you know, I can't. I don't have the time right now. But I'm almost done with this draft on the creative writing for kids that I will be sending to my editor on Monday. There will be need for revisions, and mostly in terms of additions to it. I think what I was saying before is I thought I'd be done a month ago, and I just didn't have the time with the quilt fiction podcast and with Travis being sick. But you know, I have really focused on it this month, and it's going to be done, and I'm excited. I've had a great time working on it. I actually look forward to revising it, but I'd really like to get it into my editor's hands. And then the only writing project I have right immediately in front of me is Friendship Album 1933. And you know, I'm still hoping to get the follow-up, the sequel to Birds in the Air, Stars Upon Stars, out early next spring. You know, the big hope, it was going to be out last spring, and then this summer, and then this fall, and it just gets pushed back and pushed back. So we're trying to do a lot here. It is fun, and it is a little overwhelming. So anyway, so I have many writing projects ahead of me, but for right now, I need to finish Friendship Album. And other than that, you know, I want to just enjoy October. I want to write, and I also want to do house stuff. You know, for me, fall is, you know, it's about getting cozy, you know. And if you've listened to this podcast for, say, more than 30 seconds, you know I have an attic problem. And I was talking with my friend Kristen saying, what would make October magic? And you know, the weird responses for myself. One was October would be magic if I could finally get the attic cleaned out. And it seems like it's like, why not say October would be magic if the weather were perfect and someone gave me $1 million? That also would make October quite a magical time for me. But there's something about, yes, if, and I think it's really about October would be magic if it got cool enough where I felt really energized and had time to really focus on the house and just do a 20-minute a day thing. I'm trying to do that now. And sometimes that 20 minutes in the attic is just looking around and feeling overwhelmed, but kind of noticing things and starting to break things down into categories, you know, and going, oh, you know what? They're really right. There's a lot of train stuff. Maybe that's what I need to do. And, you know, Will went through some of the train stuff for me. I need to bring it over the summer. I need to bring it all downstairs and be done with it once and for all and say, here you go, Goodwill or Rescue Mission. Here's this train set. It is workable. There's enough there. It's not the complete train set, but you know what? You can still run a train on it. I've got to get to that. I can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good any longer. So what about quilts? Shall we talk about quilts? Shall we make this a quilt podcast? I think so. I raise my hand and say yes. I'm still working on the two quilts I talked about last episode, the Modern Garden Path and then Crown of Thorns. And Crown of Thorns, you know, it was my dream that I was going to have the top done last week, and I got sick with a stomach bug. So then it was my dream that I would have it done this week. And you know, if I weren't going out of town on Saturday, I would. What I have to do is put the top itself is together, right? The blocks. Now I need to put a border on, and my plan is to put on a 3.5-inch white border, and then around that do a sawtooth border. And that's just going to be half square triangles. And I actually think that's going to happen faster than I thought it would. I started working on the half square triangles and putting them together into the sawtooth border. And it's like, oh yeah, You know, and it's so funny because I'm so math phobic that I'm like, I won't even think about the math. I'll just start putting together these half square triangles and, you know, in a row, in a line, and then we'll see how many it takes. I thought, there is a possibility that if you have a quilt that is 84 inches long and you have half square triangles that finish at 2 inches, that it might take, what would that be? 42. See, I'm so sad. I'm sad at math. It's not just bad at math, it's sad. So 42. I think that's right. I think this is mathematically possible. Not quite. Well, no, just about. Just yes. Like, yeah, a slant quarter inch mathematically possible for me to put this together. So, I think I'm about ready to put one border on. And the other three shouldn't take long. And then it's the quilting. And we are talking some straight line quilting plans here. Love the straight line quilting. Love it. You know that. I love it. And that's all I'm going to do. I may just do straight up and down lines. I might do some up and down lines, some side to side lines. I might do some diagonal lines. I haven't decided. I think I'll do them all of a piece, right? But, you know, I love the diagonal quilting. So why not? The diagonal straight line. Now, you know, I love the diagonal serpentine line, but this would probably just be a diagonal straight line. Yeah, I don't know. The possibilities of straight lines are endless. Once I finish that, you know, I mean, I'd love to finish the modern garden path quilt. And I've kind of been working on it side by side, but now I feel like I need to focus on finishing Crown of Thorns. And once I finish that, then there's a quilt I want to make that also is a 1930s inspired quilt, and it would, and I think it's called a snowball quilt, and it's very simple. And I'm thinking of it in sort of a Nordic way, that it would be a bright blue and white quilt, and you know, which, and I know it does, and blue and white in some cultures kind of leans toward Christmassy, so, but also the word snowball. Holiday theme. I feel like it would. I think in an odd way, you could pass that off as a holiday quilt. But it's also, you can pass it off because it is a simple quilt. And so I'd like to do that. And then, you know, and at that point, and this feels like such a lie I'm telling you, but it's a lie that I currently believe, then I want to focus on quilting some tops that I have for at least a year, including some tops for some quilts that I'd like to give to charity. Because that's been something I really felt like this year I was going to do, and I haven't. And I do feel like that's something I need to do, that I have been quilting, obviously for my own pleasure, but also quilting to kind of coordinate with my books, which kind of makes the quilting I'm doing kind of a marketing kind of quilting. And, you know, and that's fine, but I believe in tithing. So I feel like I need to tithe the quilt or two to charity, if that makes sense. What else to tell you on this almost fall day? Oh, man, I want October to be nice. Tomorrow's supposed to be 70. Storms are supposed to come through, and it's supposed to be 70. Man, have we talked about Florence? Did we talk about Florence? We did. I think the last one I posted, it was 2 weeks ago, and we had just not experienced Florence. Other parts of the state of North Carolina, devastated. I try not to get too political here on this podcast, but you know, again, if you've been listening for more than 30 seconds, or at least or 3 years, that I do believe that climate change is real and it's happening. I think it's happening now, and I think we're seeing these storms, and we're going to see more and more of them. And that's what I worry about for the eastern part of my state, especially, is that it takes a lot of time to recover from these big storms. And what happens if you're not recovered from one and the next one comes? Anyway, we were very fortunate here in Durham, in the central part of the state. We did on the at the tail end of it got huge downpours, huge rains, and some tornadoes in Durham that didn't come near us. That was a little weird. You know, I kind of had done all the prep for the hurricane to come, and then it didn't come, and then we woke up Monday morning. It's like, oh, tornadoes, great. You know, and you kind of thought that the scary part was over, and then the Friday the 13th guy hops up, what's his name, Jason, like hops up out of the water and grabs your boat. That's kind of how it felt. But again, very, very fortunate to not have any problems. So yes, but looking forward to October and 70 degrees. And if we have to have some rain with that, I can accept a little bit of rain. Okay, if the weather gods are listening to me. It's nice in October to have both your high, bright blue skies and beautiful fall colors, but also your occasional overcast day where it's a little chilly and you wrap up in a quilt and, you know, watch TV and knit or get out your sewing machine. I don't know. So, you know, sewing itself, that's a funny thing. I just had this weird thought. It's like you can make knitting a cozy activity to produce cozy goods. Quilting is not really a cozy activity if you're using the machine. You're making something cozy with your machine, but the activity itself, not that cozy. But maybe some hand quilting. And what was I thinking about recently? Well, you know, I still have my yo-yo quilt to do. There's some hand quilting stuff I could do that I think I would enjoy. All right. I'll tell you what I'm reading that I'm really enjoying. It's this book. It's called Meg Jo Beth Amy. I think it's Beth Amy and not Amy Beth. Oh, Dad, the AC's going on. You can hear my horrible machine. It's about Little Women. It just came out. And if you're a Little Women fan, which I hugely, hugely am, then you must read it. Because it's about the book. It's kind of a cultural history of the book. And it starts out with some biography about Louisa May Alcott, who, you know, her biography is super interesting to me. And, you know, Little Women, I think a lot of people have kind of assumed that that was autobiographical. And in some ways, it really, really is. Alcott was one of four sisters. She had a younger sister named May, M-A-Y, as opposed to A-M-Y, who's very artistic. She did have a sister named Elizabeth who died young, but I think in her 20s. I don't think that she was... I know she wasn't as young as Beth in the book. And an older sister who she was close to, and then her sister married. And, you know, all these... So there are things that are true, but her father was not the wonderful Colonel March, but in fact Alcott Bronson, who is an interesting character, but... you know, Ray's, it was kind of, I mean, he was in some ways a great guy. He had a school, and I think had a very humane idea about educating children. The school failed because he took in a black girl, and other people did not, the parents of other children did not want their white children to go to school with this black student. So he actually kept the school open, and it was just this girl and his own daughters. But, you know, so I think he had a good heart. But for a while, he was an early vegan. And I think at one point, Louisa Alcott's mother kind of moved her daughters out of the house because they were starving. You know, it's hard. So they, like, didn't, it was like, they basically ate nothing. Like, they believed, Bronson Alcott believed that root vegetables were wrong, that eating root vegetables, anything growing under the ground, was like a sin, you know. So they really, that was, you know, and Louisa was very, very young when this happened. And I don't know how long the experiment lasted, but I think it stopped when the mother moved the girls out of the house and said, yeah, my children really need to eat. So, and from a very young age, Louisa May Alcott felt the need to support her family because her father made no money, and she did support her family, and she was very close with her mother. And, you know, there's this part of her biography where she actually moves into Boston and gets her own apartment, and it's like this amazing time in her life because she's not taking care of everybody. You know, she's making some money and she's working on some projects, and she, you know, very much valued her independence. She never married. You know, at that time, marriage really meant giving up your identity and your work and all that stuff, and she never did it. But anyway, but then she had to move back. They needed her at home. So the book covers the biography and then kind of what, you know, the publication of Little Women, and the kind of, you know, it was huge, huge hit. And sort of, there's a great chapter on the movies and stage productions, and I was so happy. She talks about the 1994 movie starring Winona Ryder as Jo. And I like Winona Ryder fine. And in that part of the 90s, she was like at the height of her career. terrible actress, but so nice to look at. And, you know, and you feel like she had a good heart and was well-intentioned, but she was not Joe. Joe is tall and gangly, and her only beauty is her hair. Winona Ryder does not have 1 centimeter of her whole self that is not beautiful. It's particularly when she was like, whenever that was made, she was like 20 years old. She was at the very height of her beauty. And she played Joe in this way that I found annoying and precious. And so I actually liked the production overall. I liked the set. I liked Claire Danes as Beth very much. I thought she brought a lot to Beth. But anyway, the author agreed with me that Winona was just not the right choice for Joe. Winona's the one who got the movie made. She had the clout to do it, and she wanted it made. And did you know, I know if you're not at all interested in Little Women, you're like, what? What the? Yeah, I'm sorry. But we're going to talk about this. That there's going to be a new Little Women movie. And I think Aunt March is going to be played by Meryl Streep. And the actress who played Lady Bird, whose name I cannot pronounce, but it was also in this movie Brooklyn, based on the Coim Tobin, I don't think I'm saying that right, but the novel Brooklyn, which is an amazing novel. She was in that. She starred in that. She's an amazing actress. She's going to be Jo, and I can't wait to see it. I'm going opening night. I also really like the recent PBS miniseries as well. So I am reading this book. If you're at all Little Women fan, you should read it. I highly recommend it. And I just got out of the library the annotated Little Women, and it weighs like 30 pounds. So I can't wait to look at that. So I'm all things Little Women right now. So that is what I'm reading. I abandoned our book club book, The Buddha of Suburbia. As it turned out, I was sick. We met last week, and I really felt horrible, so I didn't go. So yeah. So then I was like, I didn't feel so bad. We're reading, I can't remember what we're reading for next month. Monica, who is Norwegian, picked the book, and it was by a Norwegian author. It's an English translation. And she often does that, and it's really nice because you're reading European authors who you might not have heard of. So anyway, so that is what I'm reading. And of course, I've had all these novels on hold at the library, and they've all come in, and now I can't think of what they are, but if I read them, I will tell you about them. And I need to go get Will, so I will talk to you later, and hopefully we'll have some more quilty news to report to you. But got my book report out of the way, so that's good. All right, bye for now.
Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Wednesday, October 10th. Really need to get this episode up. You know, it's just busy times. Just busy times doing the other podcast. But you know, I feel like I'm doing for people I don't know, and so I have to do a better job. Do you know what I mean? I feel like people who listen to this podcast are my friends, and you understand. But the people who listen to Quilt Fiction podcasts, some of them are you and are my friends, but other people are complete strangers to me, and they may be less likely to cut me slack. Or maybe they would. I don't know. I don't really know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I recorded a quilt diary last week, but I had a bug. And so it wasn't like I was rambling or raging or anything. I just was having a hard time articulating a thought. So I decided we'll put that quilt diary aside, and we'll do another one when I'm feeling a little better. And I do feel better. I'm sitting here in my living room. The AC is running. We're in the last, this is the last day of summer. It really is. We have a storm coming through. Hurricane Michael is not supposed, well, it's supposed to hit us with rain. I do wonder if, because Florence barely touched us a little bit. I mean, we did get some heavy rains here in Durham, but nothing too substantial, at least for us living on a hill as we do. But, we may get some heavy rains, but because Flo didn't hit us and it was supposed to hit us harder, I'm wondering if like Michael's just gonna kick our butts. I don't know. I hope not. But the good news is we still have all our supplies from Florence, so I think we're in good shape, even if it does. Anyway, what do I need to tell you? I just did an interview with Meg Cox for the Quilt Alliance, the Story Bee interview. If you're a member, you'll receive
a link to that interview. I don't know. I'm not sure when it's going to be on. It may be this month, actually. Because she kind of stepped in as a favor. Meg is a longtime Quilt Alliance member. She was on the board for 10 years. She was president for 6 years. So she kind of stepped up because the person we had scheduled to do this month's interview just couldn't do it after all. It was moving, you know. So understandably kind of got to this place. She's like, yeah, I can't do it. So Meg did. And I don't know if you know her. She has a great newsletter, monthly newsletter called Quilt Journalist Tells All. And she is, in fact, a quilt journalist. She's a journalist. She worked for the Wall Street Journal covering, like, financial futures and agriculture for, like, I think 16 years. And quit that and wrote a couple books on family traditions. She is very interested in traditions and rituals. And so she had some books, those books. And then in 2008 published a book called The Quilter's Catalog, which you may have seen. She told me it's out of print, which is too bad because even though it was published 10 years ago, it's still a really wonderful document. It's got a lot of resources. Obviously, it could be updated. Things change. There's a lot of new things she could add. I'm sure there's things in there that are now defunct and that sort of thing. But there's still, you know, if you ever see a copy used, I would pick it up. It's a really fun read. And so anyway, and then she has continued to write about the quilting world, and now she's writing for Quilt Folk. And Quilt Folk is, of course, my new favorite quilting magazine. Yes, it's expensive, but it is beautiful. It is more than a magazine. You know, you will not put it in your recycling bin. You will keep it like you would keep a book. And the photography is beautiful. I think the articles are good, and I think they're getting better. Mary Fons is now the editor-in-chief, and I think she's doing a good job. So, and now, you know, and then she brought on Meg, and you know, just, I can't think of a better person. So I just, you know I like a magazine. You know that I was really sad when Quilter's Newsletter went out of business. So I am very happy, and I do shell out the money, and it's like $22, and I shell it out because I think it's worth it, and I want to support it, you know. And as someone who loves quilt stories and is interested in, you know, quilting trends and quilt history and all of that stuff, that part of quilt culture, I just find that a really worthwhile investment. As for my own quilting, I'm still working on the Crown of Thorns. I am on the border part, which I'm doing a sawtooth. Sawtooth. I wanted another word there. A sawtooth something. I wanted an alliteration there. I'm doing a sawtooth sound garden border. No, just a sawtooth. I think is that right? Is there another word that I need to add to that? Somebody. Colton Jenny, tell me. Somebody. I'm almost done with that. I have the short ends to do. I have all my half square triangles. They're all trimmed. That takes forever, but it's so much more accurate to make them big and trimmed down. And it was my dream to finish it last week, and then I really didn't feel well, and then Jack came home. Oh, this was so fun. Jack came home for fall break, and he brought his friend Sarah, not his girlfriend, but his roommate's girlfriend. So initially the plan was that Jack was going to come with Sarah and Stephen. And Jack and Stephen are just best friends. You know, Sarah, who is Stephen's girlfriend, says, yeah, we've got a romance, meaning her and Stephen, and a bromance, which is Jack and Stephen. And I'm just so happy. Jack has made these really amazing friends at school. They're all involved in mock trial. And Sarah was a delight. You know, I just have sons. I've got these two sons, and they're okay, you know? But, and the man and I sometimes have discussed that perhaps given my own adolescence, that maybe it was better not to have a daughter. Because I was not fun. But, you know, it's like, and having sons, it's like both Jack and Will, their closest friends, particularly Will's, have been boys. Although Jack in high school, one of his very close friends was a girl. But they didn't hang out here very much. So it was just this delightful thing. Sarah's, she's amazing. She's really, really smart. She's a year older, so she's a junior, and she's going to, you know, thinking about med school, so she's doing all these internships. She spent the summer in Kenya working in hospitals. She's an EMT volunteer, and just couldn't be, like, nicer or more down-to-earth or kind. And you know, what surprised me is I kind of thought they'd be off doing their own thing, because there's plenty to do in this area, but they just kind of, I think they were just wanted to chill. And so we ended up talking a lot, and Jack is very quiet, and he was much more talkative with Sarah around. So we had such a nice time, and it was nice to have company, because it forced me to clean the house. And we had pies, and we had good dinners, and like on Sunday night we had dinner. We did a cookout, and had pumpkin pie, and we sat on our screen porch until 10, and we sat down at 6:30. So that was really, really fun. So that was just one of the highlights of my fall. Although it's really, again, today's the last day of summer. Hurricane Michael is coming through and is going to bring the temperatures down. Friday is supposed to be 72 and sunny and low humidity. And will I be dancing in the streets? Yes, I will be dancing in the streets. I will. You can come up here and see me dancing. Because then that's from that point on, looking at like the 10-day forecast, it's going to be in the 70s and low humidity. The temperatures have, I don't complain about the weather. You know I don't. But I will just mention that though the temperatures have not been that hot, like 80, the humidity has been horrible. I don't mind, because it's just weather and I'm very zen about it. I'm just noting that the humidity has been unbearable. Yes, but anyway, having Jack and Sarah here for their fall break was absolutely wonderful, but it did get in the way of finishing the complete quilt top for Crown of Thorns, and just not feeling that well last week also got in the way. So this week, so it's Wednesday, and it's weird because Will had fall break on Monday, so it's like it's Wednesday, it feels like it should be Tuesday. I'm like, where's the week gone? So I'm trying to get caught up with everything and get a little more organized, and maybe that will happen. Fingers crossed. So, yes, and I also need to make a block for my guild's charity quilt. We have a guild meeting on Sunday, so I'll tell you all about that. We're having, it's, a woman is coming in and doing a workshop on dyeing fabric. And I have bought some kit. It does not involve me dipping my hands into dye, which is really good because I don't want to do that. I don't like getting my hands dirty. It's my one problem with gardening is you just get so dirty. There's so much dirt involved in gardening. But I think that the fabric she's buying, bringing the kits that we bought, they are somehow treated. And so we'll be, the dyeing process actually will not involve us dipping fabric into vats of dye, but actually putting like leaves and stuff on the fabric, and it's magic. We're having a magic workshop on Sunday, and I'm very excited. I'm just excited to hang out with my guild, because it's the nicest guild. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not sure what else I have to tell you. I redid my interview for Just Want a Quilt. I don't know if you're listening to Just Want a Quilt, the podcast. If you like it, you're lucky because Elizabeth publishes. I don't even know what her publishing schedule is, but she publishes at least a couple episodes a week. And what I love about it is she's interviewing all kinds of different people. Now, her deal is that she is a lawyer. She's a law professor at Tulane. Her specialty area is copyright, and she's doing a research project about copyright and creativity and quilts. And she has a Facebook group associated with the Just Wanna Quilt podcast, and she has formed a quilting army. And it's, but if you're feeling like, wow, I'd love to be part of a Facebook community that's not too huge, there's always the Twilters, but there's also now the Quilting Army, the Just Wanna Quilt Facebook group. And it's a really nice, friendly, and fairly active, but not overwhelmingly active group. And I like them, and I just love Elizabeth. I think she's great. And so we re-recorded our interview because it turned out the sound quality from the first time we did it wasn't great. And so we just said, let's do this again.
And I think it was an even better and richer interview the second time around. And we talked about all kinds of great things. I'll let you know when that episode comes up. But what I love about the podcast is while she does interview well-known quilters, like she's interviewed Alex Anderson and Victoria Finley Wolf and Claudia File and all these people, you know, that are famous in the quilting world. And those episodes are usually titled "Famous Quilter." Victoria Finley Wolf talks about her career, but that's how she indicates this is a famous quilter. So those are the famous quilter episodes. But she also interviews people who are not famous quilters. For instance, I am not a famous quilter, and that's one of the things that we talked about. She's like, "Where do you see yourself in the quilting world?" And I'm like, "Well, not as a prize-winning quilter. You know, I'd actually have to make quilts that were prize worthy." And so I decided that my place in the quilting world was as interpreter because I write stories, I collect stories, and write stories and what have you. So she interviews quilt writers like me. But she also, it's like I'm listening to an interview right now that she posted really recently. It's just somebody who joined the quilting army or the quilt army. I think it's the quilt army. So just a regular quilter. So she interviews people who are just regular quilters. This, to me, there's a real overlap, I think, in a way, with the stuff that's going on with Quilt Alliance, in which it's a little bit different. But this idea that we all have quilt stories to tell that are of interest to one another. And so I love that she's doing that. So that she does have kind of some big names in there. And of course, my favorite interview so far is the 2-hour episode with Tula Pink and Mary Fonce, which was brilliant. And I really recommend listening to it, even if you have to break it up into like 4 or 5 listens, because it's fascinating, particularly if you are interested in quilt culture, the quilt industry, sort of that. This, if you're interested in what I'm interested in, you should listen to that. That's just an amazing. I mean, I can see listening to it again. So there are all kinds of interesting people, just not all of them are famous. And this makes me happy because I'm a little bit, I mean, I like, I'll fangirl on some people. I'll fangirl on Jackie Gehring. And in fact, I want to get her to do an interview for the Quilt Alliance Story Bee because I think she's a really important figure in modern quilting. A little fangirling is fun, but sometimes, I don't know. I mean, I think we need to be careful. This quilting is a special thing. Our community is special. And I've kind of, we live in such a celebrity culture, and I don't think it's good for our souls. I don't. I think it starts making people feel if you're not famous, if you don't get lots of likes on your Instagram post or your Facebook post or whatever, if you don't get retweets, that somehow you're not important in a meaningful way. And I think that's a toxic. I think social media, as much as I've enjoyed some aspects of it, and I do love Instagram, just because I like looking at pretty pictures of quilts, and I don't follow a lot of famous people. And I'm someone, by the way, with 3 Instagram accounts. So yeah, just for I do one that's Francis Dowell Books, which is really for children's books, and I do. I might have mentioned that on the last. I have no idea what I said in the last quilt diary. So I have that, and I have Off Kilter Quilt, and Fran from NC, which is just stupid. But is our photographs. It's I go through phases where I put a lot of stuff on there, and then I don't touch it for 6 months. Just photographs from beach vacations or funky stuff that I see around town that catches my eye. But I think so. There are aspects of social media that are fun, but I don't know. I do think there's a lot of toxic stuff about our culture right now, and I do think celebrity culture is part of that. And so, while I think it's fun to kind of crush on people and really admire and respect people and call it fangirling. Yeah, that's that can be fun and cute, but sometimes when then it becomes, I at the same time, it's like there are all kinds of celebrities and all kinds of fields that, are actually not the people doing the best work. They're not the most brilliant artists. They're just the people that are really good at promoting themselves. So anyway, just some things I've been thinking about. What am I reading? I'm reading a book, and I could not tell you the author. I will link to it in the show notes. It's called The Lido, and it is set in Brixton, England, which I think is London-ish. But, all I know is the Clash song, The Guns of Brixton. So I'm not sure where Brixton is. But there are two characters. One is an older woman. One is a younger woman. And they meet because there's a recreational swimming pool that some developers want to buy I think they want to fill it. They just want to fill it up over. They're buying some apartments nearby, and so they want to buy the pool, which is again a public thing, included as part of their property. And so and the older woman, who was, say, a teenage girl during World War II, she has swum in this pool, swimmed in this pool since she was a girl, and that's kind of where she, met her husband and all the stuff. And so the idea that it might be close to her is, of course, heartbreaking. And the younger woman is a newspaper reporter who's kind of covering it as a story for the paper. And it's quite lovely. The plot, it's much more character-centered than plot-centered. And what's nice, there are these little short chapters just from the point of view from someone who's using the pool. Neither of these women. So it's a really good book. It's the blurbs are like, it's like the new A Man Called Ove, and I'm like, it's really not, but I like it nonetheless. And I'm looking around. I got a book out that I'm reading. It's one of these books that I should probably just buy or ask for Christmas, because I'll read bits and pieces of it and it's interesting. But it's called Fewer Better Things: The Hidden Wisdom of Objects by Glenn Adamson. And let's see. Fewer Better Things explores the history of craft in its many forms, explaining how raw materials, tools, design, and technique come together to produce beauty and utility in handmade or manufactured items. Whether describing the implements used in a traditional Japanese tea ceremony, the use of woodworking tools, or new fabrication technologies, I think that's us, Adamson writes expertly and lovingly about the aesthetics of objects and the care and attention that goes into producing them. And there is something, I haven't gotten to the quilt making part, but there's something about quilts in here. So anyway, it's very good, it's very thoughtful, and I like reading stuff about making stuff. So those are a couple books on my list. All right, well, I think I'm going to say goodbye for now. Oh, I did think of one thing. There's something, I can't remember why I thought of this, but I thought of this last week, and it's why I started recording last week while I was sick and rambled. But the question was, and I don't think it came up with Elizabeth, but maybe it was, I was thinking maybe it would, but sort of the question, why do you make quilts? And, oh, I know what it was. Elizabeth mentioned this. I'm talking about Elizabeth from Just Want a Quilt. And she put that question on her Facebook page. Why do you make quilts? And a lot of people responded to it, and with all kinds of different reasons, for my sanity, because I like to work with my hands, it's a healing thing, whatever. And I thought, well, why do I make quilts? And partly I thought, well, because I want quilts, and I want quilts in my life, and making quilts is the best way to get quilts. But also because I think it's more, like, I love quilts, and that was, so long I wanted to make quilts and just couldn't figure out how to do it, but I wanted to make a quilt because I loved quilts.
And I thought, well, it's like I love stories, and that's part of like why I make stories. The things that I really love, I want to do. Now, there are things that I love that I can't do. So I love paintings, and I am not a painter, and I love music, and I am a failed musician. But there is that, I think, for me, that desire to get, when I love something, I just want to go as deeply into it as I can, and that's not always possible, but with quilts, it is. So think about that. Why do you make quilts? It's an interesting question to me, because sometimes the answer is not as obvious as you might think. All right, well, I'm going to say goodbye for now. I hope that I will be back in a reasonable amount of time. And I hope wherever you are, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, I hope you're having a beautiful fall. And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, happy spring. All right, bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.